In the financial area, are we warriors or worriers? The temptation to live beyond our means, to overspend, is greater than it's ever been. And too many of us yield to that temptation, and as a result, we're worriers.
Welcome to Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown, and I'm with Kent Darcy. Today we continue our discussion on how to handle your money biblically. And I want to start with a question for you. When it comes to your finances, are you a warrior or a worrier? We're going to discuss the importance of living on less than we earn. Why is that important? Because when we overspend, we tend to be worriers, don't we? We worry about how the bills are going to be paid. We worry about our marriage because we're fighting over money issues. We wish we could live on less than we earn, but is that even possible? Well, we'll find out when we return to Champions Arise.
At Champions Arise, we want you to finish well the race of life. And this series of programs is designed to help. There is no doubt that this world is filled with distractions. Allow for the still small voice of God to break through the cacophony of noises that surround you and determine in your heart to follow His design for your life, marriage, and family. Champions Arise is your program to succeed in what matters most. To learn more about Champions Arise, go to championsarise.org. championsarise.org.
Kent, I'm glad, really glad we're talking about this issue because I think a lot of men struggle in this area of finances.
Yeah, I think you're correct. Two of them are probably in this room.
I certainly have.
Yeah, I mean, your earlier question was powerful, though. You know, in the financial area, are we warriors or worriers? You know, the temptation to live beyond our means, to overspend, is greater than it's ever been. And too many of us yield to that temptation. And as a result, we're worriers.
Why is that so true, Kent? I mean, one of the pressures to overspend seem to be so much worse now, at least it seems to be, than in the past.
Yeah, well, you know, our conversations have been based on Lonnie Berger's book, Every Man a Warrior. And his goal is to make us warriors that live out God's truths in our lives, not worriers about the world, particularly where finances are concerned. And he says that a big reason the pressures seem greater is because of the easy availability of credit. You know, in the year 2006, approximately 6 billion, that's billion with a B, 6 billion credit card offers were sent to people just in the United States. And they all offer the promise of a better life, getting all those things you deserve.
Oh, yeah, that's how they bill it. Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing how contrary that is to contentment that we learned about in our last program.
Yeah. I mean, we read 1 Timothy 6:9, you know, which says, those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. And, you know, where this verse says, want to get rich, it could easily say those who want more things.
Now, hold it. You're not saying, Kent, that credit cards are bad, are you?
Oh, no.
Credit?
No. I mean, properly used, they can be a great tool.
Okay.
Unfortunately, most people, including Christians, don't use them properly. You know, Proverbs 22, verse 7 says, the rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is the slave of the lender. You know, most people are borrowing money they don't have to buy things they really don't need. So they are slaves to the lender and worriers instead of warriors that live in God's truths.
And we can borrow money in other ways than just credit cards, right?
Oh, absolutely. Student loans are a big drain on people's finances. Or you can borrow from relatives or friends. You know, even those check cashing places, you know, you're really borrowing money because they're lending you money against your paycheck,
exactly.
But for a fee. And that fee is money that you should be using to pay bills or put in savings.
Right.
You know, instead, you're giving it to the check cashing company. But in all these cases, instead of denying ourselves and trusting God, we're deepening our debt.
And deepening our debt is bad.
That's right. Absolutely.
But I want to look at why. If the problem is as bad as we all know it is, apparently a lot of men don't understand how debt is actually affecting them.
Yeah.
So let's get specific about this.
Okay.
Why is debt bad?
Well, first, I think you're right. A lot of us don't understand this. And as Christians, if we're going to offer hope to our unsaved neighbors and coworkers who are drowning in debt, we have to lead the way. So here are four reasons why debt is bad. The first reason, personal debt lowers your standard of living. For example, if you owe $5,000 and you're paying, say, $720 a year in interest, that is $720 you don't have to apply to other things like home improvements or a men's retreat or a marriage conference. And this is the big deception. Because you lose that $720 a year in small $60 increments, $60 a month, you don't notice that you've lost $720.
That's so true.
And my friend, what could you do if I put $720 in your hand right now? And keep in mind, standard of living is much more than the things we have. You know, biblically, the standard of living includes things like peace in our home. You know, money problems is a major stressor on marriages. Sleeping well at night because we aren't worried about money. How about joy in your heart because you appreciate God's faithful provision in your life? That is true standard of living. And that is what many of us are lacking because of debt.
You're listening to Champions Arise. I'm Foster Brown with Kent Darcy. And we're talking about learning to live within our means and how debt can make that even more difficult. Kent, you said there were four reasons debt was a problem. And the first one was that it lowers our standard of living. Now, what is the second reason?
Well, the second reason debt is a problem is overspending works against you. Foster, imagine you're in a rowboat on a lake and water is coming into the boat. What would you do?
Get the water out of the boat as fast as I could.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you'd grab the bucket, you'd start scooping the water out of the boat. Now, what if you're in the boat, water's coming in, and you watch your friend grab a bucket, reach over the side, fill the bucket, and dump it into the boat? I mean, you'd yell, what are you doing? I mean, you're supposed to be getting the water out, not add more in.
I might throw them out.
There you go. You know, but financially, if you're living beyond your means, spending more than you're bringing in, you're essentially taking the bucket and pouring water into your debt-filled boat. And what's going to eventually happen?
You're going to sink. Like that couple we talked about last week.
Yeah. Jack and Karen, That was a really sad story. I mean, from such a great beginning, you know, they accumulated so much debt, they eventually declared bankruptcy and got divorced. You know, but the Champions Arise, we don't want any of the men listening to take that path.
No.
So the third problem with debt is it's easier to get into debt than to get out.
Oh, yes.
You know, once you're in debt, besides having to stop the habit of overspending, you also have to be willing to drastically reduce your lifestyle in order to pay off your debt. Mm-hmm. And the fourth problem is debt can set up a cycle of generational bondage or borrowing money. You know, one example is college students who take out loans. Many of them are just getting their college loans paid off in their mid-40s, just when their children are ready to go to college and get loans. And another generation of debt is created and repeating. So these are four reasons debt is a problem. But now let's look at some steps that we can take to get out of debt.
And these principles apply regardless of how you got into debt.
Yeah. And, you know, actually, I'm glad you clarified that. Since, you know, we have men listening that are in a variety of situations, these steps apply universally. Okay. The first step for getting out of debt is assessing your current financial situation. You know, write down all of your bills, you know, the expenses and total them. Write down all of your income and total it. Then see what the difference is. Do you have more income or expenses?
You mean people don't know where they are financially?
No. Most people have no idea. They may know they're living beyond their means, but they're often shocked to see how bad the problem is. You know, it's very important to write it down. And the second step toward getting out of debt is confessing your sin to God. You know, are you in debt because of pride or envy or covetousness or fear?
Wait, what do you mean by fear?
Well, sometimes we know there's a problem, but we're afraid to tell our wife or take the steps to fix it. You know, telling the family things are going to change can be hard. And that actually leads us to the third step. Pray with your wife for the wisdom and strength to stop yielding to the temptation to overspend. You know, it's very important to work your way out of debt as a team. And the fourth step is to get help. There may be financial people in your church. You know, there's some good Christian ministries online that help people with financial problems. Getting help serves two purposes. You'll get the expertise and guidance you need to help you change the course, but it will also help you to be accountable to the plan. And creating a plan is the last step. You need to have a written plan that includes a written budget, a way to keep track of your spending, a way to maintain transparency and accountability.
Uh-huh.
You know, basically, you want to eliminate the ability to spend money without the other spouse knowing about it.
That's right. Yeah.
And you should include a timetable for getting out of debt.
These steps all seem very doable.
Well, they are. You know, the toughest part is getting started. But the good news is God wants to help you, which is why quiet times with God are so important. You know, right now you're probably making financial decisions without even asking God about it. But when we have regular quiet times, reading the Bible, praying, memorizing scripture, we are far less likely to pray for a fancy new car instead of a car, because we'll be less concerned about what our neighbors have and more concerned with how we can honor God with our finances. You know, quiet time with God also gives us the strength to resist the temptation to overspend. You know, 1 Corinthians 10, in verse 13, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape, that you may be able to endure it."
Well, you know, Kent, time really went by quickly today. So let's recap what we've learned in this lesson.
But first, one quick thing. God's word doesn't say that debt is sin.
Okay.
But the Bible does give many warnings about getting into debt. So I want to make sure we're clear on that.
Okay.
But today, we looked at four problems debt causes. One, it lowers your standard of living. Two, overspending works against you. Three, it's easier to get into debt than out of it. And four, debt can set up a cycle of generational bondage to borrowing money. And then we also discussed steps that can help us to overcome debt. Those were: assess your current financial situation, confess your sin of overspending to God, pray with your wife for the wisdom and strength to stop yielding to the temptation to overspend, get help, and create a written plan. Debt always presumes that the future is guaranteed to be secure. Mm-hmm. And we all know that's not true. You know, unexpected things happen. Jobs get lost. Illnesses happen. Unexpected repairs can occur. You know, when we depend on what I call if-come instead of income, we could have major problems when situations like these come up. So my friend, getting into debt was probably easy, but getting out of debt is hard. You know, maybe your wife or family like the way things are, but as the spiritual leader of the home, you want to get good, godly counsel as to how to take steps to get your family back to a biblical way of handling money.
Thanks, Kent. You know, I'm reminded of what it says in the book of James, chapter 4. "Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow, we're going to a certain town and we'll do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it." My friend, you know what to do now, and we encourage you to take today's lesson to heart. Listen to this program again and take the steps today to live within your means. You can stop being a worrier by applying God's truth to your finances.
Champions Arise founder Edmund Speaker talks about the need for men of valor and character.
I had the privilege to have in my life great role models of men of valor and character. Today, saying that the difference between a man and a boy is the price of his toy stabs me in the guts. We can do better than that. Our families and our society are in urgent need for men of valor who stand up for what is right. Our program will help men to do exactly that.
You can learn more about the Champions Arise movement when you go to championsarise.org.
Thank you for listening to Champions Arise, where men are equipped and strengthened to meet their God-given potential. Today we discuss the importance of living within your means. The material for this program is from lesson number 2 in the book Every Man a Warrior, Volume 3 by Lonnie Berger. There's a lot more information on finances in his book. You can find more information on his book and other programs in this series at our website, championsarise.org. I'm Foster Brown with Kent Darcy. Thank you for listening to Champions Arise. May God mold you into the man he knows you can be.